You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Good morning. A happy Friday to you. Congratulations. You made it. You know who didn't make it? Comedian Kevin Hart. He's out at the Oscars.
The Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 and Mesa Drive.
Yeah, this happened fast. Kevin Hart announced he will not host the 91st Academy Awards. Yesterday, less than 2 hours after declaring he would not apologize for his past homophobic comments and tweets, Hart said he would step aside from the prestigious gig and also finally said he was sorry.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think the people that are perpetually outraged by things that Kevin Hart might have said are also the same ones who go, I never watched the Oscars. What do I care about a bunch of celebrities telling me what to think? But Kevin Hart is maybe the latest person you could say in this ongoing, it's almost a perpetual outrage. You have to have an outrage of the day, and today's outrage of the day is Kevin Hart. Because apparently, stop me if you've heard this one before, a comedian said inappropriate things, and they were captured on social media.
Kevin Hart was announced as the host of the Academy Awards on Tuesday. That's when the tweets resurfaced. They were posted about 8 years ago. In them, he used offensive language about gay people. But then, when he posted two emotional responses on Instagram today, there was no apology.
All right, so we got to go back to 2009 and 2011.
All right.
He had some derogatory language referring to gay people and some disparaging comments about sexuality. One of the now deleted tweets had the comedian saying, "Yo, if my sons come home and try to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say, my voice, stop, that's gay." That was one of them.
Oh, my God, I'm outraged.
And the Academy, I'll be honest, I don't know what the other ones are. This is one that is in print.
But they're all kind of the
read them.
That gist.
Okay.
That he was anti-gay. He didn't. The idea of his children being gay repulsed him in some way, shape, or form.
So the Academy had him hosting the 91st Oscars. He was absolutely stoked to do so. It was something for years that, you know, he'd be asked if he would ever want to host the Oscars, and his answer was always the same, that it would be the opportunity of a lifetime for me as a comedian, and that it will happen when it's supposed to. That was what he wrote when it was announced on Tuesday that he would be hosting the Oscars. Well, these tweets, as you heard, started to surface, and the Academy went back to Kevin and said, "Hey, can you just apologize for him?" Kevin said no, in fact, took to Instagram to pass on that apology.
Got
Take
it.
A listen.
So I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, "Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old." I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times.
Okay, I've addressed this several times.
These specific tweets he's apologized for when they've come up over the past 8 years.
So I'm not going to apologize. I've already apologized for them.
And he's apologized on social media for them and apologized on Twitter for them.
And then, obviously, this was still getting to him. There is another video that he made and he posted where he has said this.
"Oh, my God. Guys, I'm almost 40 years old. If you don't believe that people change, grow, evolve as they get older, I don't know what to tell you."
And you know what? I understand the point that he's making there. And I do believe that people grow, they change, they evolve as they get older. I know myself that I have. So I get the point that he's trying to make. Yet at the same time, I understand why the Academy asked him to apologize. And if he wants to stand on principle, those are his principles, he is more than entitled to do so. But it comes at a cost. And that cost is the Academy was probably going to pull him from the production. So instead, he decided to step down.
I think people have gotten to the point now, and it's not surprising in the slightest, where they're looking to be outraged and looking. You dig deep enough into anybody, you'll find something that you can interpret. He's a comedian. Comedians say things that, and a lot of jokes, they have to be rooted in some sort of actuality, something real. And you twist them, everybody giggles, they can relate to it in some way, shape, or form. Him talking about smashing a dollhouse if his little boy wants to play with dolls or whatever, you could argue it's not a funny joke. You can argue, but is it proof in and of itself that he's homophobic, that he's bigoted towards gays? I can separate the two. I've seen people tell jokes that are, I mean, if you broke the joke down and it wasn't a joke and you just read it like that, you would go, I think that person might be a serial killer. No, it was in the context of a joke, for God's sakes. And where does that end? Will actors or musicians, will lyrics or characters they play? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, where does your outrage end?
Well, I think everybody's outrage is a bit different. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the other tweets that he has written in the past, and they're not as censored as the Dollhouse one.
And we probably can't read some of them. Absolutely.
No. So it's not just a joke. I understand why folks within the LGBTQ community would be offended.
And he's apologized to them.
I understand why the Academy asked him to apologize. I also understand that if he chooses not to apologize because he's already apologized for him before and he wants to stand on that principle, he's more than entitled to do so. What I don't understand is why he says, I'm not going to apologize. I pass on apologizing.
Yeah. You don't understand that.
Let me finish. Steps down. And then apologizes.
He tweeted, I have made the choice to step down from hosting this year's Oscars. This is because I do not want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many amazing, talented artists. I sincerely apologize to the LGBTQ community for my insensitive words from my past.
I pass on apologizing.
You can't fire me, I quit.
I've already apologized for this so many times. I'm not going to apologize. I step down. Oh, I apologize. I don't get that. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, I think that his point is that if every single time he's up for a job, be it hosting, it's a job, hosting the Oscars or a movie role or a TV role or a speaking engagement, he has to go back and apologize for any tweet that may have offended somebody. It becomes like blackmail at some point. And his argument is, I've addressed this. These specific tweets that you're dragging up from 8-9 years ago, I've specifically addressed them previously. All of my apologies are out there in the public sphere. I thought he made an interesting point. He goes, if you spent as much time digging through the internet looking for my offensive tweets as you did looking for my apologies for it, you would have found that balanced each other out. But no, you're only looking for one thing.
So I'm not going to apologize. Oh, wait, I apologize.
You know,
I don't get that. Like, again, I understand people change. I understand why the Academy asked for the apology. And I understand why he said he didn't want to apologize because he's already addressed it. I understood all of that. And then he apologized.
Ken said, why are we not accusing him of being a child abuser since he talked about smashing a dollhouse? We're okay with him assaulting his child.
Okay, really,
just
Bruce?
Not for gay reasons.
Okay, you know, because, again, he's a comedian. So apparently, if you're a comedian, you can say whatever.
You absolutely can.
Question to you, though, on the open mic line. 602-200-2733. We got a couple. Do you think the Academy was right to ask him to apologize? Was it right for him to step down? 602-200-2733. And for me, I also kind of see this, Bruce, as a reminder that, you know what? Luckily, you and I, we spent our teens and our 20s social media free, so you're not going to be able to go back and find some of that stuff. But
this was only 10 years ago, though, right?
I understand, and he's more of a public figure,
and he was 30 years old at the time.
A little bit
he wasn't
more.
A kid.
But what I'm simply offering to people is that, you know, should you scrub your social media history because of what you've said in the past that can come back and be held against you?
I would say that we're going to get to the point here in the not-too-near future that every single person in any sort of a public capacity, be it a politician, celebrity, whatever, that they're going to be some sort of Instagram post, tweet, Facebook. They're going to have something that you can get outraged over. And maybe if we just all get outraged over everything, we come right back around full circle and go, okay, wait, we're all outraged. We can move forward.
Chime in on the open mic line, 602-200-2733. The Academy right to ask him to apologize? Was it right for him to step down? The open mic line brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley.
The lead brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 and Mesa Drive, online at burgeford.com. A new app might be the cure for cell phone addicts. Those of you that can't stop looking at your cell phone while driving.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You've all done it.
What?
You may be driving down the 101 this morning. Uh-huh. Maybe you were on the 51. Maybe you were just stopped at a stoplight on one of the city streets. You look down at your phone. Maybe it buzzes. Maybe you got a news alert from KTAR. Maybe you just thought, hey, I'm sitting at the red light. For goodness sakes, I can catch up on my Twitter feed. You do it. Well, it's not good. We all ignore. I mean, I think most people know it's not a good thing to be distracted while driving a car, yet you can't help yourself. Well, along comes technology to the rescue.
There's an app for that.
There is an app for that.
There's always an app for that. And when you take a look at people being preoccupied with their phone, distracted, you'll see in certain cities like Miami, for instance, there are 12 accidents a day.
A day.
That are caused by what they call preoccupied phone junkies. Pretty much meaning that if you just kept your eyes on the road, they would not have happened. So enter
engaged
into the fray.
Engaged in driving, I would call it.
You've got two MIT professors, the Smarty Pants.
Yeah, definitely.
That created an app. There is an app for that. It's called Drive Well Platform.
Okay.
Now, the Drive Well platform is free. You put it on your cell phone. And what it does is it uses sensors to collect information about your trip. All right.
Your phone has motion sensors, accelerometer, whatever that is. Your phone knows what you're doing.
It analyzes whether you've engaged with the phone or maybe made some sort of like risky maneuver, slammed on the brakes, and gives you a behavior report card and rating. Okay. So you know what? I don't really want to know my behavior report card. I mean, because I'm an above average driver. Everybody thinks that. Yeah, everybody.
Including the idiot
that.
Right now who's swinging from lane to lane while they're texting. They think they're above average driver.
You know, you used the example, Bruce, of which I'm quite guilty of. I admit I don't text and drive, but when I get to a stoplight, I look at my phone.
You gotta kill the time.
Well, I look at my phone.
You're here for 60, 90 seconds. I mean, who's got time to sit there, right?
And so, you know, you take a look at your phone. I'm just at the stoplight. But what we're finding out is that your brain is still engaged and you're still looking down as you pull away. And 3 seconds, you travel the length of a football field. So you see where this distracted driving takes place. Okay, so you don't want the report card. I don't want to know
that you're a
how
D-minus.
Bad. Whoa, that was loud.
You know, you don't
how
bad
know. I am. And so what do they do? Is they actually paired this performance scorecard with competition and prizes.
Oh, so it's like a game. It's like Candy Crush, but with driving.
You can play the game citywide. Uh-huh. You can invite friends to play with you.
I bet you I can beat you at a better driving.
Right. And so then you get free coffee and gift cards, cash rewards from businesses that are sponsoring it. You also can get discounted rates from insurance companies, compelling drivers to be a bit more responsible.
Mm.
So it sounds good, so good,
sounds
that
good.
What they have found out is that within 2 weeks of having this app on your phone distraction is reduced by 35%. Dangerous speeding and other types of hazardous driving reduced by 30%. Seems pretty good, doesn't it?
It sounds like it would be a positive, right?
But it also, in my opinion, comes back to very Big Brother-esque. What are you willing to trade? Coffee, rewards, gift cards, for your data and information.
So there are different. I'm not trying to throw an insurance company under the bus. I'm also not trying to promote one. So I admit that I don't know this. I want to say one's called Snapshot, another one's called Safe Driver, where insurance companies will reward you, your insurance company, for being a safe driver. Now, how do they do that? By the way, they don't take your word for it because you're all safe drivers, even the person who just drove into the back of another car because they weren't paying attention. It requires you actually plugging something into your car, many of them, and they monitor your speed, do you make those sudden stops, quick acceleration, and reward you for that. But how, I mean, that's like having your insurance agent sit in the passenger seat and drive around with you and go, I don't know. I think we're going to raise your rates.
And yeah, and careful, because you say you did this to, you know, get the reward, to get the the reduction in your insurance. But if they have all that information, what would prevent them from increasing your insurance? Yeah,
why are you assuming you're going to be good? Again, everybody assumes they're a good driver, including some absolutely horrible drivers out there.
But I think what this is going to show is that it's really hard to resist habits that we've created. If you've got that habit, of which I'm mindful of, I haven't stopped it, but when you're at a stoplight,
awareness is the first step.
Yeah, exactly. And when I, you know, I learn more about, okay, well, I'm just looking at it at a stoplight, and you got the smarty pants scientist from MIT saying, yeah, but your brain is still engaged with that phone, you know, even after the light turns green. Okay, I did not know that.
Well, you would know it if you thought about it like this, because we know that driving, operating a motor vehicle, requires certain brain power and skill. How many times have you been talking on the phone? Talking. You're not touching the phone. And you missed your exit.
Oh, yeah. How many times have I just been driving and thinking and missed my exit?
The argument is, you can do one or you can do the other. You can't do both well. You can't do both well.
What do you think about this app? Would you ever put it on your phone? Do you think that this is beneficial? And would you be willing to do it? Give us a call on the open mic line. 602-200-2733. 602-200-2733. It kind of comes down to what's your safety worth.
The Phoenix City Council is getting ready to vote to approve $150 million in taxpayer dollars to renovate the Suns Arena. If you haven't heard about it, that's what they're hoping. That's the goal. We'll tell you about it coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. Don't make me do the math, but today is that anniversary, and anyone who has been out there to specifically Hawaii and the USS Arizona Memorial knows exactly what this day means. Do you know there are still people alive who served on the USS Arizona? I want to say, I was reading an article, there's like four or five men that are still alive.
And they're all quite up in age, in their 90s.
In their 90s, I was going to say.
And none of them, I believe this is the first year that none of them made it back. No. For the remembrance.
Yeah, still a date in our nation's history that should never be forgotten. The Phoenix City Council is getting ready to vote. I want to say the vote is next Wednesday on a $230 million renovation of the Phoenix Suns Arena, now called Talking Stick Resort Arena.
So the city wants to spend about $150 million to upgrade Talking Stick Resort Arena. Also want to throw in another $25 million over the course of the 15-year deal. So the people of Phoenix...
And the owner is supposed to kick in $80 million, the Suns.
The people of Phoenix are then scheduled to pony up $175 million for the facility. And this is moving at lightning speed.
Yeah, why so quickly? We first heard like inklings of it, and now they're talking about scheduling a vote on this on Wednesday. Public comment. There's a very limited amount of time for public comment.
Yeah, what public comment?
Exactly.
I bet you there's a lot of people listening to us right now that are like, whoa.
They're going
to
do what?
The city wants to spend $175 million on renovations for Talking Stick Arena.
In downtown Phoenix.
And is that how you want your taxpayer dollars to be spent? Now,
that's
some of you
question.
Listening right now probably say, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to keep the Suns here. I don't want them to leave when the team's lease is up in 2022. I don't want them to get stuck in arbitration and maybe get a bigger renovation bill. And that's fine. Okay? If that's how you choose, you want your taxpayer dollars to be spent, that's fine. But there are probably a lot of other people in there going, whoa, I didn't even know this was a possibility.
Yeah, and I think there is where the spidey senses might start tingling with a lot of people going, okay, so what's the rush? What are the deadlines they need to make? Is the deadline December 31st? If so, you could say, okay, yeah, you got to get this done before the holidays. It appears that the deadline for some sort of a deal is July. of 2019.
So why the OGA?
Why are we at the second week in December saying we got to get a deal done?
Well,
if you're a conspiracy theorist, there's a couple reasons.
I don't know if it's necessarily a conspiracy theorist. Let's just lay out the facts.
All right.
In November, we had a midterm election.
Yes.
And you had Kate Gallego, who smoked her opponents in a four-way Phoenix mayor's race.
There's four people running. Got it.
2 days later, she announced that spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a huge renovation for the Phoenix Suns is not a priority for me.
Okay. The potential incoming mayor, because she's not elected yet.
Right. There's going to be a runoff election in March.
The person who finished second because none of them received the amount they needed.
Gallego is the one who is got the odds on favorite. Mm-hmm. So read the tea leaves here. There's a runoff in March. We don't have a current mayor. We've got like an interim or an acting mayor right now in Phoenix. And the individual who people are predicting is going to win in March has been on record saying she is not in favor of spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a renovation for the Phoenix Suns.
The person that she's in the runoff with, Mr. Valenzuela, who also was on the city council, has also said publicly, not in favor of it.
Okay, so you have the two people who have a campaign in
March. Regardless of who's
going
to be the new mayor, they don't appear to be in favor of this.
Now we start to see why it is.
It smells like a lame duck city council trying to get something through before elected officials come in who are opposed to it. And it's too late for them to do anything about it.
Now,
that's what it smells like.
The city of which we're hoping to speak to somebody at 11 o'clock to break this down for us, they say that 150 initially, and then, you know, an additional 25 over 15 years. They say that those taxpayer dollars, that they're going to be paid out of a tourism tax and not from taxpayers themselves.
Well, when you say tourism tax, just so we're clear, that doesn't mean we tax people when they step off of an airplane or get out of their car. It means we tax things that tourists primarily use, hotels, rental cars, etc., but things that you may also use as well.
Oh, fair enough. But disproportionately, it's still a tax.
And if you go and travel somewhere, that's why San Diego screws you. Denver screws you because every city's in the business of screwing people that come and visit them.
Okay, well, you know what? If everybody else is getting screwed, why don't we do it? I get what they're saying. Okay, so the Phoenix taxpayers aren't going to pay it. It's the people that are coming to visit that are going to pay it.
Allegedly.
Okay,
right.
Okay, fine. Let's hold them at their word and say, and that's true. So you're going to get this influx of cash.
$150 million they expect.
Is the best allocation of those funds for renovations for a sporting arena or for a city that has been struggling with filling positions on the police force?
They're down 400 officers. Sal DeCiccio, we reached out to Sal. I want to hear. Sal talks all the time about he doesn't want light rail. That's a boondoggle. He wants to pave the road. You know, let's fill the potholes first, which, by the way, solid argument.
Isn't it funny that we're talking about potholes in Phoenix?
There is that.
Yeah, there is that. Anyway,
but
continue.
I sincerely hope that Sal has the same opinion on throwing money at a billionaire sports owner, Mr. Sarver, who I hold no ill will towards, so that his millionaire employees can run around in it on the backs of taxpayers. If the Suns want a new arena, pay for it yourselves. And so, I would say that about any team that I'm a fan of as well.
Okay. So we're hoping to have somebody from the city on at 11 o'clock to answer some of our questions as well as yours. There isn't a whole lot of public comment going on about this. They just seem to be informing you, not asking you. So what are your questions about this? You live in Phoenix. Your taxpayer dollars, yeah, I get that this is going to be coming supposedly from tourism tax, but that money could go elsewhere. We want to hear from the people of Phoenix. What do you think about this? 602-200-2733. It's our open mic line. Again, we're working to get somebody from the city on to answer some of our questions and answer your questions as well.
I'm ready for the city.
What are your questions for the city regarding this $150 million upgrade to Suns Arena. 602-200-2733.
The city's going to come and tell me how what an economic boom it is. Don't worry, I got my numbers ready from independent economists, not ones paid for by cities, to try to fleece me out of my tax dollars. Ask Glendale how building a sports arena has gone for them. Would they like those tax dollars back?
They're not building, Bruce. They're just renovating.
Mm-hmm. You got plenty of their own money. Renovate it yourself. I wish you loads of luck. Or we're going to leave. Need help packing? A dad came up with some harsh punishment for his daughter when he found out that she'd been bullying. Okay. Did he go too far, or is how he chose to publicize it the issue? We'll talk about it next.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
When I was a kid, when I was growing up, you probably had different disciplines. There are different things your parents did to you, and that's why you grew up the way you are today. Well, one dad publicized his punishment for his young daughter, and it has tongues a-wagging.
Yeah, you got Matt Cox of Ohio, and he's got his 10-year-old daughter.
Matt Cox says his daughter Kirsten was kicked off the school bus for 3 days for bullying another student. He posted this video on Facebook giving a narration as he followed little Kirsten in his car.
She said, "Daddy, you're going to have to take me to school next week." As you see this morning, she is learning otherwise.
Okay, so what Dad decided to do was say, no. No, you got kicked off the school bus.
For bullying.
You're going to walk to school.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to walk the 5 miles in the 30-degree weather.
Uphill both ways.
To school.
In the snow.
Here's a little bit more from Dad.
Parents need to hold their kids accountable. So that was me showing how I'm holding my kid accountable. Bullying is unacceptable, especially in my household.
You know what, Dad? You're right.
Good
bullying is
unacceptable.
And it should be unacceptable in your household. So don't bully your daughter. Here's the thing. If you're a parent and you decide you want to teach your child a lesson, and as he said there, he wants to hold his child accountable for her actions, fine. 5 miles is a long way, but she can do it.
Yeah.
Dad was behind her in the car, so she's safe.
She wasn't, yeah, okay.
If this is how he chose to discipline his daughter, well, as a parent, you can do that.
Herein lies the rub.
You don't have to videotape it and show people
and put it up
how you're
because,
holding your kid accountable.
Because him punishing his daughter by making her walk to school after getting kicked off the bus is him disciplining his daughter. That's not a me issue.
No.
I'm not involved in this.
No.
You choose to discipline your daughter, your child, however you want. Great.
It's a bit extreme, but, you know, it's not abusive in my mind.
No. Once you post it on the internet, videotape it, and do this narration for the whole thing, this isn't about her anymore. This is about you.
And you know what I think it says
this
about
you.
Him, Bruce? I bet you something like this was done to him. I bet you his parents shamed him in some way. So what does he do? He shames his daughter. His daughter daughter even admitted that she had been bullied at school. So what is she doing?
Yeah.
She's bullying. It's this perpetual cycle.
Yeah.
And parenting, let me tell you, every parent listening right now goes, uh-huh. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is stressful. It is constant. I think this
You're
dad.
Make mistakes.
Oh, yeah. You just hope that they're not major ones. I think this dad made a major mistake. I honestly think he did. Not by holding his daughter accountable. He can do that. But by posting it out there for the world to see. You, as a parent, are supposed to be your child's safety net. A kid is a kid. They don't have the coping skills. They look to their parents for guidance on how to solve their problems, not to draw attention to the areas in which they may be struggling.
Well, and again, the minute you start publicizing it, sharing it on social media, you're overcompensating. What are you really doing? do you feel guilty because you're doing this and you're trying to justify it to the rest of the world? Are you trying to get out in front of this? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, again, how should every parent videotape the spanking of their child? Do you see going to bed without dinner? Once you start publicizing it, this is you. This is a you thing. It has nothing to do with his daughter. The video has nothing to do with his daughter. Everything to do with dad.
We want you to chime in on this on our open mic line, 602-200-2733. I think we got two different issues here. One is the punishment.
Walking 5 miles in the cold.
Because she got kicked off the school bus for bullying. The other...
I walked 20 miles.
...is posting the punishment online. And inviting the world to comment on it, of which he knows folks are going to do.
I know a lot of you parents are not going to agree with this, but that is all right.
I, sir, frankly, don't have a problem with the punishment that you chose for your child. It's not one that I would choose for my kid, but it's not my kid.
You're not abusing him. Break the law.
I recognize that what works in my home may not work in yours, and what works in yours may not work in mine. It's a bit excessive. But where I take issue is that, why are you putting it out there for the world to see? Like, this is your daughter. You want to punish her? Punish her.
But she's going to be famous for this for quite some time.
And her dad is the
she's
one going to
live on the internet
forever. And her dad, yeah. The guy who's supposed to protect her, is the one who did it.
You're the girl that walked 5 miles, girl.
602-200-2733. We'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts on this on our open mic line.
Yeah. We have a check of the headlines. We got Martha Maurer on top of that. We try not to react to the idiot tweets, but Trump is tweeting about Arizona this morning, and nobody, including the Border Patrol, can figure out what the hell he's talking about. We'll dig into this and find out if hordes are showing up on our southern border again. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.